Let us hear God's word. I read to you first from the first letter of the Thessalonians, there at chapter 2, and I read the first 8 verses. Hear God speak to us in these few words. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. And our second reading comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew. I read from chapter 22 at verse 34 under the heading, The Greatest Commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Amen, and thanks be to God for his most precious word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. We are living in a time of change, in a period of flux where the things which we once thought were stable no longer seem as fixed. Now, the COVID pandemic does play some part in this. It's difficult to have a conversation with anyone, never mind actually write a sermon, without mentioning it at least in the passing. But the feeling that things are constantly changing is nothing new. You only have to look at the drive to have the latest phone, which has extra fast processing and 20 lens camera, and costs 6 times as much as the last version, to know that this is a trend which has been going on for years. Developments in technology and socio-economic changes have been accelerating over the past 100 years. I've often thought of my granny. She was born in 1912, and the changes which she must have seen over the course of her long life. She died in 2009 at the grand age of 96. And had lived through 2 world wars, the discovery of penicillin, the depression in the 30s, the invention of the microchip and all the subsequent technology related to that. She saw the import of foods from abroad become commonplace, and the devaluing of her skill as a tailoress as supermarkets became flooded with cheap imports of clothes. Her family expanded and shrank as she lived through the births, marriages, and deaths of family members. When she died, she was a proud great-granny to 7 great-granddaughters, with another one on the way. Personal, environmental, and social change were ever present. But change is a part of our lives too. Last night, the clocks changed. The seasons are changing from autumn to winter, and the nights are fair drawing in, as we like to say to one another. The rules and regulations governing COVID are changing almost daily, and they're different in different parts of the country. Some people love change. They love the excitement of not knowing what's around the corner. What surprise will tomorrow bring? Whilst for others, something as minor as changing the colour of the toilet paper can bring near overwhelming challenges. Our gospel reading for today will be familiar to most of us. It is one of the simplest and yet one of the most profound readings that we find in the Bible. In 6 words, we sum up the entire message of the Bible. Love God and love one another. In a world of uncertainty, in a world of confusion, this simple little statement can anchor us to the reality of God and his interaction with the world. Now, this verse is very familiar, but I do sometimes wonder if its sheer familiarity can breed an almost dismissive attitude towards it. Yes, we love God. But what about him? Does he love God? Yes, we love one another. But what about her? Do I have to love her too? She's not my neighbour. She's nothing like me. She's said or done something awful. And her experience is so very different from mine. How could anyone love someone like that? This reminds me of a cartoon where Jesus is telling people to love one another, and the voices in the crowd are calling out, "But what if they're refugees? What if they're gay? What if they're a dictator? What if they've committed some horrific crime?" And Jesus responds by calmly looking back at the crowd and asking, "Did I stutter? Love one another." There's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no maybes, and there's no exceptions. The Pharisees came to Jesus with their questions. What about this? What about that? Like children, they are determined to find the loophole, desperate to discover the get-out clause. Let's face it, the Pharisees did love their rules. Not only were they fixed on following the 10 commandments, but they scoured the Torah for every rule they could find, and on top of that, they heaped the importance of tradition. They wanted the I's dotted and the T's crossed, no room for manoeuvre. They were binding people up in the law so tightly they could hardly breathe. So, Jesus broke it down for them into simple language that even a child could follow. Love God and love your neighbour. Every other rule and regulation and stipulation falls into these categories. If what you are doing as an individual, or if what an organisation is doing collectively, does not show love to God, does not show love to other people, then somewhere along the line, someone is getting it wrong. This is the simplest and the hardest instruction in the Bible. In his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul takes this instruction to love and expands on it. He puts it into real-world examples, using the evidence of his life and calling to explain what practical love looks like. In his letter to the Corinthians, he describes the patience and kindness and self-sacrificing nature of love, but in a very abstract way. Here, in this letter, he is saying, look at me. Look at Silas. Look at Timothy. God loves us. And the power of that love has compelled us to share the gospel with you. It was dangerous. They had experienced physical danger. Their freedom had been compromised. But God loves us. And God loves you. Therefore, we must speak to you of this wondrous love. They didn't try to bribe them. They didn't try to con them. They were honest. They were open. And they showed by example what God's love looked like so that they could experience it for themselves. This is our calling too. We are God's people, just like Paul. And we are called to share our experience of God's love. The world is a difficult and troubling place. Things are changing, some for good and some for evil. God loves us through it all. Society has been rocked. The Church of Scotland was facing upheaval long before we evacuated our buildings and went online. Some people are back in a physical sense, but it has changed. It is different. So where are our constants? Where are our anchors? What are the things that we can rely on? And when we strip everything away, what are we left with? And the answer is love. God's love for us, our love for God. And because we know that God loves even us, we can reach out to our brothers and sisters throughout the world, whoever they are and whatever they have done, however different they are from us, and we can know that because God loves them, we must also love them. The story of Mary Poppins, she came to help when she was needed, but she left when the wind changed and when the door opened. But our Saviour, he's eternal. He isn't rocked by changes in weather, by changes in circumstance, or by viruses. He is eternal and he is love, and we can cling to him throughout the storms of life. Amen.